تحقيق. After he went through the Bisap al-Thani fil Adat, and he talked about the three different types of people, he wanted to do a tahqiq. And this is just to let you know whether you're in this maqam or not, give you a little test. I think if we worry about that first half of the book, we're in good shape. So don't worry about this test. All right. إذا أردت العلم بحقيقة حالك, if you really want to know the reality of your state, من المقامات المذكورة, from all these stations we've mentioned, فعرض على نفسك نقيض ما أنت فيه, expose yourself to the opposite of what you're in. فإن أبت, if your nafs refuses, فعلم أنها على ما تفهم منها, then know that your nafs is indeed, yourself is in what you understand to be in. إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ إِبَايَتُهَا مُسْتَنِدَةً بِأَوَّلِ وَهْلَةً إِلَى وَجْهٍ شَرْعِيٍ, unless the reason that it's refusing is dependent at the outset to be from some sharia perspective, from a legal perspective. In other words, it's refusing out of taqwa. إِلَّا إِذَا أَسْتَدْرَكْتَهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ هَوَاهَا, unless there's some redressing afterwards, then it's indeed from its own hawa, its passion. فَإِذَا عَارَضَكَ الْوَجْهُ الشَّرْعِي فِي الْعَمَلِ بِالنَّقِيدِ فَخُذْ بِمَا يَقْتَضِيهِ الْوَجْهُ الشَّرْعِي مِنْهُ وَذَلِكَ بِأَنْ تَعْرِضَ وُجُودَكَ فِيهِ حَيْثُ يَجُوزُ لَكَ عَمَلُهُ عَازِمًا جَازِمًا عَلَى نَقِيضِهِ فَإِنْ أَبَتْ إِلَّا الْأَوَّلَ فَزِدْ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ مُبَاحَاتِ ذَلِكَ النُّوعِ. So then he's giving you an example. If you really want to see where this is, then look at something that is not from a legal perspective impermissible, but look at what the wajh al-shar'i necessitates from that, and then from that expose to yourself something that's permissible for it to do related to the opposite of what your station indicates, and then if it refuses other than the first, then increase looking at the mubahat, the permissible things of that type. Now he's going to give you an example of what that means. He said, if it's difficult for you to do something in everyday affairs due to the fact that you have a position, so مثاله أن يتعذر عليك في وجودك التصرف في أمور عادية يقتضي المنصب خلافها. So whatever your position or status is, it necessitates the opposite of this behavior. فتأخذ بما لا يخل بالمنصب منها مما يقرب من ذلك. So take something that doesn't in fact diminish your position, but something that close to it. In other words, you're moving towards the edge here. So he says, كَحَمْرِ مَتَعِكَ فِي السُّوقِ. If you're somebody who, he says, for example, carrying your own luggage or your own grocery bags. Because obviously for certain people in certain societies, they wouldn't do that. It would be inappropriate. Especially in the Moroccan society, for instance, an alim, it was an aib. It was a really bad thing if an alim went out and did his own grocery shopping. In fact, Ibn Abi Jamrah, who you're reading from his Bahjat al-Nufus, one of the things that Ibn al-Hajj says about him is that he had such humility that he would even take care of his own needs. So that's what he's saying. Look at that. أو لبسي ثوب خلق, or wearing some old clothes, because certain people, they always wear fine clothes, nice clothes. So wear something worn out. إن لم يكن تعرضا لطرب أو إظهارا للفقر. If it's not exposing oneself to like going out and beseeching people or manifesting poverty, حَتَّى تَأْلَفُهُ, until you get used to that, ثُمَّ تَعُودْ لِأَصْلِكَ, and then go back to your original state. وَلَا تَزَارُ تَعْتَادُ ذَلِكَ مُدَاوَاتًا لَهَا, and continue to do things like that as a way of treating the self. وَإِنْ كَانَ الْأَمْرُ أَشَدُّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِحَيْثُ تَمْتِنِعُ مَثَلًا مِنَ الْخُرُوجِ حَاسِرَ الرَّأْسِ فَحْصُرَ عَنْ رَأْسِكَ, and if it's worse than that, for example, the nafs refuses completely to go out without a head covering. Because there's a hadith in some cultures, especially in his time, for a man to go out without his head covering. I mean, forget about women. That wasn't even in the configuration there. But for a man to go out without his head covered was really, really a low thing. It was a bad thing. Whereas there's a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ went out with his head uncovered. He usually wore a turban with a hat, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but he did go out without one. So the point is, he's saying, if you find that really difficult, then force yourself to do it. وَعْزِمْ عَلَى الْخُرُوجِ كَذَلِكَ. And then be completely resolute in your determination to go out like that. ثُمَّ لَا تَخْرُوجِ. And then don't go out. So it's kind of, it's like humiliating the nafs a little bit. وَكَرَّ ذَلِكَ حَتَّى يَخِفَّ عَلَيْهَا. And keep doing that until it's something that the nafs isn't bothered by. The idea doesn't even bother you. So he's saying, get yourself psychologically prepared by doing it until it doesn't even bother you. You don't have a problem with it. وَأَمْثِرَةُ هَذَا الْبَابِ كَثِيرَةٌ. Examples in this chapter are many. And then he says, وَقَدْ هَرَكَ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ جَمَعًا. One group concerning this was destroyed. And he's talking about the people that went to the extremes of the malamatiyah. People that did blameworthy things as a way of breaking their nafs. They went to extremes that actually took them out of the permissibility of the sharia. And another group destroyed themselves by neglecting these things, by never disciplining their soul, by never removing their pride and their arrogance. And he usually means here, the ulama al-zahir. فَحْذَرْ. So beware, وَبِاللَّهِ تَوْفِيقُ. And with Allah's tawfiq, وَهُوَ حَسْبُنَا وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. He then says, أَبِّسَاطَ الثَّارِثِ. The third ground for this. That أَخْرَاقُ وَالْمُعَمِرَاتِ. فَأَمَا الْأَخْرَاقُ فَأُصُورُ مَحَمِدِهَا ثَلَاثَةٌ. The foundations of all praiseworthy character is three. أَوَّلُهَا طَرْحُ النَّاسِ بِإِلْزَامِهَا الْإِنصَافَ وَتَرْكَ الْإِنْتِصَافِ إِلَّا فِي مَا يُوجِبُهُ الْحُكْمُ بِحَيْثُ لَا مَنْدُوحَةَ عَنْهُ فَيُقَرِّرُ وَعَلَامَةُ ذَلِكَ أَلَّا يُبَارِعَ عَلَى لِسَانِ مَنْ ظَهَرَ الْحَقُّ وَلَا مِنْ أَيِّ وَجْهٍ إِسْتَفَادٍ. So he says, the first one is to repudiate the self by forcing it to be fair and just with others, but abandoning its own right to demand justice. So you are fair with others, but you don't expect others to be fair with you. In fact, you don't even allow your nafs that privilege. إِلَّا فِيمَا يُجِبُهُ الْحُكْمُ. Unless the hukm shar'i necessitates it. Because there's things you can't. It's a haqq of Allah. And there's things that you cannot give up. بِحَيْذُ لَا مَنْدُوحَةَ عَنْهُ. It's inevitable. There's no escaping it. فَيُقَرِّرُهُ. So you have to accept the decision. وَعَلَامَةُ ذَلِكَ. And the sign of that is that he is not concerned upon whose tongue the truth manifests, nor whatever way it whichever way is beneficial. So Imam Ash-Shafi'i, who is a good example of this, once said that he never debated with anybody except he made dua that Allah would manifest the truth on his opponent's tongue. So his nafs had no portion. وَيَكُونُ حِرْصُهُ عَلَى الظُّهُورِ فَائِدَةِ الْغَيْرِ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ فَائِدَةِ نَفْسِهِ. And his covetousness for benefits manifesting should be more for others than the benefits of his own self. إِلَّا مِنْ حَيْثُ اعْتِبَارِ الثَّوَابِ. Unless we're talking about rewards in the next life. So he's talking about worldly things. In terms of rewards for the next life, بِأَنْ يَكُونَ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْبَاعِثُ لِلْعَارِضِ. That should be the incentive. It shouldn't be something that comes afterward. وَيَقْتَصِرُ عَنْ دُوَاعِيَ الرِّيَاسَ مَسْتَطَعَ فَفْهَمْ. And he should desist from any incentives of leadership. Any things that appeal to the soul in terms of acquiring leadership, he should avoid completely. Because one of the worst things is leadership, and it destroys people. Love of leadership, desire to be in power, desire to be the one who's up front. I mean, it manifests in a lot of different ways. So he's warning us about that. So let us understand. Fifthim. الثاني. So that's the first one. الثاني. سلامة الصدر من دواعي الهوى وطلب الحقوق فلا يحقد ولا يحسد ولا يظلم ولا ينتصر إذا ظلم ولا يرى لنفسه فضلا في ذلك بل يعطي من حرمه ويصل من قطعه ويعفو عن من ظلمه دون استظهار بذلك ولا استعظام له. So he says the second is that freeing one's conscience from the incentives of caprice and the demands of one's rights. So he should have no contempt, no envy. He should not oppress anyone. He should not justify and demand his own rights if he's oppressed. I'll explain that in a second. And he should not see that his own ego has any preference in any of that over anyone else. Rather, he should give to the one who withholds from him. He should maintain kinship ties with the one who keeps severing them. He should forgive the one who oppresses him without showing off, revealing that, without manifesting it to people, and without feeling in any way proud or displaying his magnanimity in that. Now this is based on a hadith in Sahih Muslim and other hadiths. In fact, if you read in the Riyad al-Salihin, the section, there's a section on the akhlaq. Just read that in the few chapters after that, and you will be surprised at this idea is really strong in Islam of giving up for your brother Muslims. And the story he mentioned yesterday about Abu Yazid, just to give you an example, it was from the Risala of Imam al-Qushayri. It's a story in which he was taking a bath at the hammam and a thief stole all his clothes. And he went out with a rat to catch the thief. And the thief saw him and he began running faster. And he told him, stop. He said, I'm not going to do anything to you. The man stopped and he said, I just wanted to tell you that you can have the clothes. And this man just, he broke down and made tawbah. Because Abu Yazid did not want him to have the wrong action. And that's that idea of not seeing that you have any... For him, it's like, who am I that these possessions are mine and not his? It's that real absence of ego and things like this. So, the hadith is from Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, رَجُلًا أَنَّ رَجُلًا قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّ لِي قَرَابَةً أَصِيرُهُمْ فَيَقْطَعُونِي وأحسن إليهم فيسيئون إلي وأحرم عنهم ويجهلون علي فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم لئن كنت كما قلت فكأنما تسفهم الملة ولا يزال معك من الله ظهير عليهم ما دمت على ذلك. Imam Muslim says that a man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have some relatives, I'm always extending kinship ties with them, and they're always severing them with me. I do good to them, they do evil to me. I am very forbearant with them, they're constantly being ignorant and showing me lack of respect. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if this is true, if it's as you have described, you eventually win them over through this. And he said that as long as you're like this, you will have victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over them, help from Allah, zahir, over them. And in another hadith, very similar, he said to tasiru man yaqta'uka, to maintain ties with those who sever you, to ta'fu amman dharamak, to forgive those who oppress you. And this is why Imam Malik radiallahu anhu, when he was being whipped in Medina, he said, and this is well known from him, the governor that ordered that he be whipped was from the family of the Prophet ﷺ. And he said every time the man raised his hand to whip him, he made dua for that man and gave him hal. In other words, he excused him. And he said only because of his relationship to the Prophet of Allah ﷺ. So this is a maqam of Sa'id ibn Jubair radiallahu anhu. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf killed a lot of people. And Sa'id ibn al-Jubayr, radiallahu anhu, when he brought him before him, he was one of the tabi'een. And he was a very righteous man. He told them, there's a famous hiwar dialogue between them. He said, Man anta Sa'id? He said, Bal anta Shaqi? Man abuk? Qal Jubayr? Bal anta Kusayr? And he went on, and finally he said that he was going to kill him. And he said, Ana akhru man taqtulu? I'm going to be the last one you ever kill. And Hajjaj said, I've killed a lot of people before you that were much better than you. And he said, exactly, they actually forgave you. And he said, I'm not going to. And he made dua against him and he died just after that. And he actually told people at his bedside that he could see Sa'id trying to pull him. off his bed. So it's a maqam. You don't have to, وَأَن تَعْفُ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى, that you forgive people is closer to taqwa. This is a maqam, it's a high maqam. And that's the beauty of Islam. We have, like the Christians have turned the other cheek, we have that as well. But we also have an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And they're both acceptable. And you choose. And the reason why you should do turn the other cheek is because that's what you want on Yawm al-Qiyamah. You don't want an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So if you demand it in this world, you better be ready to get it dished out to you in the next world. And that's the point. I mean, you can have your justice. Allah says that justice is a good thing. But you should know how you're judged, so you're going to be judged. You know, how you judge yourself. The criterion you use to judge others will be used against you. So it's always better to forgive people. But you have a right not to. So the second one is that you're sound from that. And then the third one, احتقار الدنيا وما يؤول إليها والكراهة لما يدل في الجملة عليها, is to have a contemptuous attitude, a belittling attitude towards the temporal world, the ephemeral world. And I want just to point out, we differentiate between dunya and alam. And this is something that confuses a lot of Muslims. The alam is not evil. The alam is a sign of Allah. Like what you see out there, that mountain out there, that is alam. Dunya is London. It's hayatul dunya. It's the illusion of this world. It's the comings and goings of people. It's not the horse when you see the horse running out in the field. That is not dunya, that is alam. And that's a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dunya is all of this illusion. Its position, its status, its ornaments, it's the zinat of the dunya. It's boasting and children, amassing wealth. That's all what Allah is telling us is so dangerous. So you should have ihtiqar of that. That does not mean ihtiqar of Allah's creation. It's ihtiqar of man's foolishness within the creation. But we should actually have respect. الَّذِينِ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا, they walk softly on the earth. لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا, the earth was rectified by Allah. وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانَ أَلَّا تَطْغَوْا فِي الْمِيزَانِ وَأَقِيمَ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُوا الْمِيزَانَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَضَعَهَا لِلْأَنَامِ, and this earth was created for all living creatures. عَلَى قَوْلٍ, there's some different tafsirs about that. So the point is that the dunya is different from the alam. So having contempt and a belittling attitude towards the dunya and everything that leads to it or inclines towards it, and having a distaste for anything that indicates it in totality, all the things that indicate the dunya. Because love of dunya is the head of every wrong action. And leaving, abandoning the dunya is the head of every virtuous action. وَعَلَامَةُ الصِّدْقِ فِي ذَلِكَ, the sign of sincerity in that, أَلَّا تَبْخَلَ بِالْمَوْجُودِ وَلَا تَحْسَنَ عَلَى الْمَفْقُودِ, that you're not miserly with what you have, nor do you grieve over what you do not have. If you want to know whether or not you love dunya, you look at your ability to give it up. And then you look at your state when you don't have it or when you lose it. That's the degree of your connection with the dunya. If you're able to give it up, bismillah, if it's like that, then it's not a problem. And those type of people can have as much dunya, it doesn't matter. There's people like some really wealthy people that have tawfiq, they're literally like just conduits. That's what they are, they're conduits. And those people have a great tawfiq, and they're one of the peoples that we should be envious of. Are people that are given great wealth, and they spend it out by day and by night. That's a high thing, it's a high maqam. The only other maqam that's equal in that envy and yet higher is the maqam of the alim. That somebody who Allah has given wisdom. بَلْ تَرَافَقْتُهُ غَنِيمًا, rather you see that its loss is a ghanima. It's actually you've gained by it. The less dunya you have, the less concerned you have. The less dunya you have, the less preoccupied you are. فِي الْوُجُودِ وَقَدْ نَقَلَ الْبُخَارِيُ عَنْ بَعْضَ السَّلَفِ, ما يدل على أن هذه الثلاثة هي أصول الخير. And Imam al-Bukhari has narrated from some of the early people that there are three things that are the foundation of all good. Al-infaqu min al-iqtar, to spend when you're in straitened circumstances, when it's difficult to spend. Somebody asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, what is sadaqah? He said, As-sadaqatu an tunfiqa wa anta sahihun shahihun takhsha al-faqr. Real charity was when you spend out and you're in a good situation, but you want to hold on to it and you have fear of poverty. That's real sadaqah. وَبَذْرُ السَّلَامِ لِلْعَالَمِ, and spreading peace to the world, which also means السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ, saying, going out. بَذْرُ السَّلَامِ لِلْعَالَمِ, spreading peace to the world. وَالْإِنصَافُ مِنْ نَفْسِكَ, and to demand of the self its responsibilities. وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ ثَلَاثٌ مُنْجِيَاتٌ وَثَلَاثٌ مُهْلِكَاتٌ. There are three things that will save you and three things that will destroy you. فَذَكَرَ فِي الْمُنْجِيَاتِ, and he made mention concerning those that save us, خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ فِي السِّرِّ وَالْعَلَنِيَّةِ, having awe of Allah in secret and openly, وَالْقَصْدُ فِي الْغِينَ وَالْفَقَرِ, being economical in both wealth and poverty, وَالْعَدْلُ فِي الرِّضَى وَالْغَضَبِ, and being fair in both states in which you're pleased, content with somebody, and in which you're angry. So showing fairness, equity in both pleasure and anger. Because most people, when they're happy, they feel good, then they go to the excess. They'll favor somebody over another person. And when they're angry, the opposite happens. When muhlikat, those things that destroy you, shuhan muta', greed that is obeyed, covetousness that is obeyed, hawan muttaba', caprice that's followed, وإعجاب المرء بنفسه, and an individual's being impressed with his own self or his opinions or whatever. معجب بنفسه. And the difference between معجب and متكبر is the معجب doesn't need a second person. Like if they have a mirror, they can be معجب. Whereas متكبر needs a second person. He needs somebody that he is arrogant towards. The vain person, he just needs himself. وَهَذِهِ هِيَ الْأُصُولَ الْحَقِقِيَةِ, and he says that these indeed are the real foundations. These are the real foundations of all good. فَرْسُمْ قَلْبَكْ بِهَا وَارْغَبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الْعَمْرِ عَلَيْهَا. So firmly root them, draw them in your hearts, picture them in your heart, and then seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your actions in accordance with them. فَإِنَّهَا مِنَ السَّيِّدَ الْكَامِرَ الْعَارَفِ الْمُطَّقِ, because it is from the perfected master, the absolute Gnostic, صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَّلَامُ عَلَيْهِ. لَكِنَّ تَفَاصِيلَهَا وَجُمَلَهَا تَدُورُ عَلَى التَّوَقُّفِ وَالْإِحْتِيَاطِ فِي كُلِّ أَمْرٍ, but both its particulars and its universals revolve around hesitation and caution in every matter. That you should have deliberation and caution in your matters. فَالْحَظْ ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّهُ الْمُعِينَ عَلَيْهَا. So take note of that because it will help you in fulfilling these. وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ. أَمَّا الْمُعَمَلَاتِ فَعَلَى مَرَاسِدْ وَهِيَ الْمَنَاهِجُ وَالْمَقَاصِدِ. As for the mu'amalat, so we did عِبَادَاتِ, عادات, and معاملات, and that's your life. Your life is devotional practices, it's عبادات, it's عادات, it's habitual practices, getting up in the morning, cleaning yourself, dressing yourself, walking to wherever you go, driving to work. Those are all your عادات. And he's talking about how to get istiqama in all these. Your عبادات are those things that you draw near to Allah by. Your mu'amalat are those things that relate to your transactions between other human beings. And he said that the basis for these, they also revolve around three. They have areas of observation which are both means and ends. manahij wa maqasid. So they have means and ends. الضرب الأول, the first type, واسمها بالتقوى. وقد تقدم بعض ما يتعلق به. The first is being qualified with taqwa, that it becomes the quality that you take on. And we have made mention, it has been aforementioned, what relates to that. وَكُتُبِ الْعُلَمَاءِ طَافِحَةٌ بِتَفَاصِيلِهِ. The books of our scholars are resplendent with the details of this. مَعَ شُهْرَتِهِ, because it's well known. وَسُهُولَتِهِ, and its ease. وَلِذَلِكَ لَا يَحْتَاجُ فِيهِ لَا يَحْتَاجُ فِيهِ لِشَيْخٍ. You don't need a sheikh for this. To be muttaqi is well known what you have to do and what you have to avoid. You don't need a teacher for this. وَلَا مُؤَيِّد. You don't need somebody that's with you constantly. وَإِنْ كَانَ فَهُوَ لِمَا ظَهَرَ مِنْ حُكْمِهِ كَالْمُؤَكِّد. But if there was help in this, it's what has manifested from its authority, like كَالْمُؤَكِّد. Like something that just confirms it. الضرب الثاني. So that's the first one. الضرب الثاني. The second one. تحليتها بالاستقامة بدلا من الإعوجاج. وهو الأخذ بكل فضيلة لا يؤول أمرها إلى نقص أو دفع أصلا أو مدافعة. لأن ما آل إلى النقص كان نقصا بنفسه وإن كان كمالا بصورته. وما دفع أصلا مع كونه تابعا فدفعه أهم من دفع مقابله. وما أدى إلى المدافعة دعا إلى إعوجاج الحقيقة في حاله. وبالتكرار ينطبع في الخيال فتجري عليه النفس في أحوالها. ولذا قلنا إن تتبع الفضائل مذموم والحرص على منافع العامة مشوش وإفراد الجهة مطلوب. So he says here, the second is ornamenting the soul with uprightness. So the first one is taqwa, the second is istiqama, and this is, I mean, in a sense he's going over from a different aspect, but it's the same thing. As opposed to its crookedness, its i'wijaj, its deviation. And what this means is taking every virtuous act that does not lead to deficiency or to the rejection of some principle or to an internal struggle. And this is important. لِأَنَّ مَا آلَ إِلَى النَّقْصِ كَانَ نَقْصًا بِنَفْسِي. Because anything that leads to deficiency is a deficiency in and of itself, even if its outward form looks like it is perfection. This is a really important point. So, whatever repels a principle, despite the fact that in fact, مع كونه تابعا, that it follows along these lines, to reject it is more important من دفع مقابله than to reject what is its opposite. Because what leads to this opposition will call to deviation in reality, in his state. And by this constant repetition, it becomes firmly rooted in one's khayal, one's perceptions. And so it begins to overcome the self in all of its different states. And for that we say, seeking out all of the virtues is blameworthy. And covetousness on all of the general benefits is distracting. But rather, isolating your direction is important. Alright, let me explain that. What he's saying there is, he's saying you should do every virtuous deed. But what he's saying also is, beware of making this seeking out virtues an obsession that leads to losing sight of what you were doing in the first place. Because all of this is about istiqamah. And if you end up being in this constant battle with the self over all these specific things, you get overwhelmed. لَنْ يَشَدَّ دِينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَرَبًا. No one will try to do everything in this religion except he's overwhelmed by it. لَنْ يُشَدَّ دِينَ أَحَدًا or أَحَدٌ. There's two qira'ah. إِلَّا غَلَبًا. So one has to be careful. So the Prophet ﷺ said, فَقَارِبُوا وَسَدِّدُوا. So do your best make your actions straight. وَبَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا. And give good news to people and don't chase them away. Because you get overwhelmed. So that's what he's saying. If you try to follow all of these virtues, it will actually end up becoming blameworthy. Because nobody can do it. الضرب الثالث تحقيق هذا المعرفة والعلم ويأتي ذكره في الموقف الثالث. The third type is the soul's realization of gnosis and knowledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will be made mention of in the third station, insha'Allah. Because that's the last station, تحقيق. تذييل, an appendum to this. قد تتدافع الحقوق والحقائق. Sometimes the rights and realities will be in opposition. كَالْأَخْذِي بِرِضَى الْأَبَوَيْنِ فِي طَرَبِ الْأَسْبَابِ مَعَ فُتُورَ النَّفْسَ عَنْهَا. Like attempting to please the parents in seeking out livelihood and means, despite the fact that the self has no interest in it. So, nothing new under the sun. Right? I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? People think, oh, well, if only my parents weren't like this. No, that's the way parents are. That's the point. So, sometimes you do. Your parents want you to go, you have to become a doctor, but I want to study Sharia. No, you have to become a doctor. They're thinking dunyawi, mustaqbal. You might be thinking ukhrawi, mustaqbal. They're thinking your near future, you're thinking your possibly very near future, possibly slightly less near future. But nonetheless, your near future, because death is closer to you than the strap of your shoe. But anyway, sometimes you get this problem, the huquq of your parents and the haqa'iq. You can have a ta'arud, tadafir. So, what do you do? وَمُطَارِبَةَ الشَّرَعْ بِيَطَارِبَ الْعِلْمَ الظَّاهِرِ. Also, because you want inward purification, the fact that the sharia says you have to learn all these outward rules. There are some people, and this is the danger of getting interested in these sciences early on, is that you lose interest in the outward sciences. It's very common. And that's why Sidi Ahmed Zarruq used to say it's better to study fiqh before you study tasawwuf, which is why it's put at the end. Because this is very interesting. It's all related to the nafs and things like that. Whereas learning wudu, learning ghusl, learning these things are a bit tedious for the self. It doesn't have the same ladha. There's a delight in it. That's a danger in and of itself. So sometimes you get these problems. And then he says, مَعْ تَشَوَّشَ الذِّهْن بِهِ مُشَارَكَةً وَوُجُودًا وَتَذَكَرًا. So your mind can become preoccupied with these type of things from your reality when you're involved in this, or part of it, or being reminded of it. فَيَلْزَمَ تَمَسُكُ بِالْأَصْلِ مَعَ الْقِيَامِ بِالْحَقِّ. Therefore, it is necessary to hold to the principle, the first principle, and also to fulfill the right. You have to be able to do both. So it's a balancing act. إِنْ وَسِعَتُهُ الْقُوَّةِ. If he has the ability to do that. وَإِلَّا دَخْرَ فِي كُلٍ بِقَدْرِهِ مَعَ مُرَاعَةِ الْأَصْلِ. Otherwise, he has to go into each one to the best of his ability while always being vigilant of the first principle. فَيَطُّبُ مُجْمِلًا فِي الطَّلَبْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He should seek مُجْمِلًا in the best way when he seeks, just as the Messenger of Allah said in a hadith, أَجْمِلُ فِي الطَّلَبْ. Everything that's coming to you is coming to you, so seek it in the best way. Seek it in the best way. وقال الحسن رحمه الله اطلبوا هذا العلم طلبا لا يضر بالعبادة واطلبوا هذه العبادة طلبا لا يضر بالعلم. Imam al-Hasan رضي الله عنه said, seek this knowledge in a way that does not harm your devotional practice, and seek your devotional practice in a way that does not harm this knowledge. So our goal is to get to Allah, but don't make the devotional practice become so preoccupied with it that you don't learn. Because you also have to learn. Although don't learn, because knowledge can be very intoxicating. You can get lost in the grammar, the fa'al, the maf'ul, the na'i, fa'il. I mean, one of the Shabistari wrote a book called Ghushan Iraz, which is a famous, the perfume garden, I think they call it. And in there he said, because he was one of these people that was very intoxicated with knowledge of the realities, and he said, if the grammarians knew what we were tasting, they would have left their pronouns and adjectives a long, long time ago. وَالْوَجْهَ الَّذِي يَدْفَعَ الضَّرَرَ بِكُلٍ مِّنْهُمَا يَدُورُ عَلَى ثَلَاثَةِ أَوْجُهِ. The way in which you avoid harm from one or the other revolves around three things. حَصْرُ كُلٍ مِّنْ كُلٍ دُونَ تَقَلُّبٍ وَلَا تَفَلُّتٍ وَلَا تَأْوِيلٍ وَلَا رُجُوعٍ الْغَيْرِ. So the first is to be able to encompass all of this that you're doing in all. So everything that you're doing, you're fulfilling all of the things that are necessary to be fulfilled, both your حقوق, your حقائق, دون تقلب, without falling back, without regression, without interpretations, and without having recourse to other. الثاني حصر النوع المأخوذ فيه دون تشعب ولا تشتيت ولا اضطراب فلا يبتدئ شيئا قبل تمام غيره ولا يدع شيئا قبل فراغ فهمه. This is important too, is that you complete the type that you're taking without diversifying and becoming preoccupied with other things. And this is one of the things traditionally you did with knowledge. Like in Mauritania, one of the beauties of their system of studying is that they still do only one subject at a time. You study one thing so you don't lose sight. You don't get too preoccupied. If you're going to study, you shouldn't have more than a few subjects. But now in all these modern schools, they give them like 20, 17. In some of these madrasas now, they give them 17 subjects in one. It's ridiculous. You can't learn anything. At best, you'll have vague recollections. I remember, I took a class in Balagha. There was something about Lef wa Nishr, and I think Khali al-Dhihn or something. What did they mean by that? That's what'll happen. So he said, don't start anything before you finish something else. Don't start something unless you finish the thing you're already in. And don't leave something until you fully grasped it. George Leonard, who's an interesting man, wrote a book called Mastery, which is actually worth reading. Some books I've mentioned aren't. I read them, but in the end, I wouldn't. You can sum up books in two or three lines, so why read it if you can get somebody who's already read it to tell you what the author had to say? But that book is an interesting book. He says that mastery is basically, he said there's three types of people. I think there's three. So there you go, it's the magic number, three. He said that you had dabblers, hackers, and masters. That was it. He said dabblers are people, for instance, they go see a film about samurai. And then suddenly they decide they're going to become a samurai. So they go get all these books on samurais, and they even find out there's a dojo in town that teaches Aikido or samurai swords. And they read all these books and this and that. But then a couple of weeks later, they realize that this is really difficult. And then now they saw a movie about downhill racer or something like that. So now they're going to go take up skiing or something like that. This is a person who's always dabbling in his life. He's always a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. He never takes anything on with any seriousness. And these people are pretty much empty people. They might be able to hold a conversation for about 3 minutes on any one subject. And then it fizzles out. And then you have hackers. And hackers are people that will stick with something to where they get to a level of proficiency. Like somebody, for instance, who studies some Arabic. The dabbler, he'll go to the course, he'll get all the books. I've got my Haywood Nahmad, I've got my Ajarumiya. And then like 3 weeks later, he drops out of the class. And then the books are on the shelf. That's the dabbler. Right, now he's going to, well, I realize I should learn Urdu first, and whatever. The hacker, he'll take the course. And he'll get to a point where he can read, kind of. Right, he'll get to a point, you know, he can read his hadith with his hands there, and that's basically, he'll get to a point of proficiency. at a certain level, and that's where he stops. That's the second type of person. The third type person is what he called, Leonard called a master. And he said, this is not somebody who necessarily has mastered his subject, but he is committed to mastery. So there's always improvement. He's always improving. And these are the people that excel in life. They're the people that will finish their studies. They're the people that will continue to learn throughout their life. And obviously, you can see yourself a little bit in all three categories. I mean, there's some things we're all going to dabble in. There's some things we'll all be hackers in. But there should be some things that we have a commitment to. Right? And that's why traditionally in the Muslim arts, it was all about mastery. If you look, anything the Muslims did, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْإِتْقَانَ. Allah loves إِتْقَان. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْعَبْدِ إِذَا عَمِلَ عَبْدًا أَنْ يُتْقِنَهُ. Allah loves, should a servant do some type of thing, that he masters it. Allah loves that. That's why calligraphers are so amazing. Calligraphers are some of the most interesting people you'll ever meet. And also martial art. I mean, people generally that have mastered anything are interesting people. Even if they're dunyawi people. If they're mastered, like you meet a classical musician, somebody who's really mastered that skill, you will benefit from them. I guarantee you. You'll get something from a conversation with them. Because those people are really unusual. They're rare people. People that have committed to really mastering something. And the thing about mastery is it crosses. It doesn't matter what you mastered, they all did the same things. That's the beauty of it. It's the same thing, whether it was for dunya or akhirah, it's the same thing. And the same rules apply. So that's what he's saying. If you're going to do something, do it till you finish it or don't start it. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever learns a martial art and then leaves it has disobeyed Abu al-Qasim. If you start like a martial art, you shouldn't leave it. It's better stay out of it than to start it. That's why Sahaba, if they took on a practice, they maintained it until they died. If they took on a sunnah, they maintained it until they died. They didn't dabble in it. They weren't dabblers. Sahaba were neither dabblers nor hackers. None of them. They were masters. The third one is حَسَرَ الْوَجْهِ الْمَأْخُوذِ بِهِ وَهُوَ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ أَنْحَاءَ أَحَدُهَا الْقِرَاءَ عَلَى الْمَشَيْخِ. The fourth is how we get this. How we achieve these. What he's talking about. And there's three ways. The first one is studying with shuyukh. The first one was qira' ala al-mashayikh. وَهُمْ كُلُّ مَنْ جَاوَزَ رُتْبَتُهُ فِي أَيِّ فَنٍ كَانَ عَلَى قَدْرِي. And your shaykh is anyone who's a little better than you in whatever you're studying. In other words, don't be arrogant. No, I'm studying with this big great shaykh. I mean, I'm not going to study with him. There's people that do that. If he studied Qatr al-Nada and you studied the Ajr Rumiya, he can benefit you. Learn from him. And then have respect for him. And it's just arrogance. These people that say, oh, I'm just going to study with the great Shaykh. It's just arrogance. And then he said, الثاني الإقراء للمبتدئين. The second way is that you teach beginners. That will also strengthen your mastery of what you're trying to learn. That is one way of mastering something. If you've gotten a degree of proficiency, you start teaching people less than you. If you know tajweed, you can start teaching people tajweed once you've learned it. If you know a degree of tajweed, and there's people that haven't learned Fatiha, a new Muslim, something like that, teach them Fatiha. So, اقرأ المبتدئين وذلك كل من قصر عن رتبتي. And that's anyone who's less than you in rank. وإن كان ما كان. Even if it was what it was. الثالث المذاكرة مع أقرانه. And the third way is to do مذاكرة, which is where you actually review your subjects. Some people are in مذاكرة, other people are in غفلة. This deen is Allah's deen and He gives it to whoever takes it. You know, whoever takes it on, He'll give it to. وَالْفَتْحُ يَأْتِي عَلَى قَدْرِ الْهِمَّةِ. Openings come in accordance with your efforts. So if you have high himma, Allah will give you what He doesn't give other people. So the mudhakara is with your brothers or your sisters that are at your level, or they might be over you in understanding or less than you or like you. You can still do mudhakara. And then he says, وَلَكِنَّهُ يَحْتَاجُ فِي الْكُلِّ إِلَى ثَلَاثَةٍ لَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْهَا. But all three of these need three more things, and they're absolutely necessary. أَوَّلُهُ الدُّخُولَ عَلَى وَجْهٍ يَلْتَزِمُهُ لِنَفْسِهِ فِي الْإِفَادَةِ وَالْإِسْتِفَادَ لَا يَتَعَدَّاهُ وَإِلَّا تَشَعَّبَتْ عَلِهِ الْأُمُورُ وَلَمْ يَحْصُلْ عَلَى طَائِلٍ إِلَّا بَعْدَ مُدَّةٍ. The first is to go into something in a way that the nafs follows it, so that not only does he benefit, but he also has benefit, takes benefit. He does not transgress this, in order that the matters don't get so diversified that he doesn't gain any benefit from it, except after a long time. So he's saying you do it in a way that's organized, so you're not all over the place, and it takes you a long time to get to where you're going. الثاني أن يسلم ما ليس من غرضه مما يأتي به شيخه ولا يشغل باله به لا ردا ولا قبولا ولا تفريقا ولا تأصيرا. The second is that he should resign to what ma laysa min gharadihi. He should resign himself to what's not necessary from his objective concerning what comes from his teacher. And he should not become preoccupied with it, neither in accepting it or rejecting it. You have to resign yourself that there are some things you might not be that interested in, but if your teacher is going through them, don't let that preoccupy your mind. Oh, he's going on that again. Don't let your mind do that, because he's saying that you'll lose the benefit from that. الثالث أن يعتذر في أحواله وأن يعطي كل رتبة حقها دون تخريط فإن مفاتيح العلم في ترتيبه. The third is that he becomes balanced in his states, because some people, they'll sometimes they're really excited, other times they don't have any energy. Sometimes they really want to study, other times they lose it. So he's saying you have to be balanced in that, and then give everything its rank and its right, what it's due to it, without mixing those things. Because the key to knowledge is in its tartib, the order by which it comes. فَكُلُّ عِلْمٍ لَمْ يَسْبِقْ لَهُ فَهْمُ شَيْءٍ فَلَا يَشْغَلْ بَارَهُ بِغَيْرِ تَصَوُّرِ مَسَائِلُ. So in something that you have never studied before, you don't understand it, don't be preoccupied with anything that other than conceptualizing what it's about, understanding its masail, because you're at the beginning level. وَإِلَّا لَمْ يَنْتَذِعْ بِهِ. If you're trying to go ahead of yourself in the knowledge, then you won't benefit from that knowledge. وَكُلُّ عِلْمٍ سَبَقَ لَهُ التَّصَوُّرُ نَظَرَ فِي جَمْعِ شَتَاتِهِ بِالتَّنْظِيرِ وَالتَّوْجِيهِ وَنَحْوِهِ. And every knowledge that you've already grasped what it's about, then you start looking how to gather its various, what you need to know from it, in research, investigation, and these things. وَكُلُّ عِلْمٍ أَدْرَكَ كُلِّيَاتِ أَبْوَابِهِ نَظَرَ فِي تَعْلِيلِهِ وَدَلِيلِهِ. Everything that you have gathered is comprehensive chapters, then you begin to look at how they were formed, at the proofs that they're based on. So if you study fiqh, once you've mastered a basic text of fiqh, like in Maliki fiqh, if you reach Mukhtasar Khalil, you've learned all the kulliyat. Now you can start looking at where the proofs for this are, how this is explained. وَهَذَا يَجْرِي فِي جَمِيعَ الْأَبْوَابِ وَكُلِّ الْفُنُونَ. And this concerns all the chapters of knowledge and all of the arts and sciences. وَلَكِنَّ الْإِلْتِفَاتِ إِلَى التَّحْقِيقِ فِي الْمَبَادِي مَانِعٌ مِنْ بُلُوغْ طَوْرَ التَّنَاهِي. But if you're too much concerned with the details in the beginnings, this will prevent you from reaching a real understanding or a mastery of it in the end. إِذْ كُلُّ بَابٍ لَهُمْ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ مَا لَا مُنْتَهَى لَهُ. Because every chapter of knowledge has endless possibilities. وَقَدْ سُئِلَ مَالِكٌ. Imam Malik was once asked, رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ عَنْ طَرَبِ الْعِلْمِ فَقَالَ حَسَنٌ وَلَكِنْ اِعْرَفْ مَا يَلْزَمُكَ مِنْ صَبَاحِكَ إِلَى مَسَائِكَ فَلَا تُؤْثِرْ عَلَيْهِ شَيْئًا. Imam Malik was once asked about seeking knowledge, and he said, it's good, but you should know what you need to know from morning until your evening, and don't prefer anything over that. In other words, be practical. Don't learn all this theoretical stuff and you don't know how to do anything. وَهُوَ الْقَوْلُ الْفَصْلُ. And this is really the ultimate statement in this whole chapter, فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ. وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَرْجَعُ وَالْمَآبِ. And to it we return as the foundation, the resource, the reference. فَأَمَّا قَوْلُهُ لَيْسَ بِأَوْلَ مِمَّا قُمْتَ بِهِ فَقَضِيَةٌ خَاصَّةٌ عَيَّنَتْهَا الْحَالَةُ. As for his statement, what you're going to, it does not have greater priority over what you're leaving, which refers to a time when one of his students got up to leave his circle of knowledge to go to the prayer, which was a nafila prayer according to some riwayat, and he said, what you're going to is not over what you're leaving. In other words, the knowledge is as important. He said this was iqdiya khasa, this was a specific time that was determined by its specific circumstance. وَالْعِلْمُ وَظِيفَةَ الْعُمَرُ وَالْآخَرَ لَبُدُ مِنْ عِمَارَتِهَا. Knowledge is the occupation of a lifetime. But the akhirah, we have to cultivate it. So what he's saying is, there's no end to knowledge. Don't forget about devotional practice as well. Because one of the ways we cultivate the akhirah is through devotional practice, through turning our knowledge into practice as well. المرصد الثاني في معاملة الخلق وذلك بثلاثة أمور. The third one, المرصد الثاني, the observational area in concerning how we transact with people, and there are three things in it. أن تعود نفسك فيهم غريبا فلا تطلب منهم حقا ولا ترى لك فيما هم عليه خيارا. That you consider yourself amongst them a stranger, amongst people, and you do not seek from them any right, nor do you see وَلَا تَرَدَكَ فِيمَا هُمْ عَلَيْهِ خِيَرًا, nor do you see in what they're doing as having any preference over what you have. فَتَتْرُكُهُمْ وَمَا دَفَعُوا إِلَيْهِ. Leave them and what they have gone to. وَتَعْمَلْ عَلَى مَا يُخَلِّصُكَ عِنْدَ مَوْلَاكَ. And occupy yourself with what will save you from your Lord's judgment. مُحْتَمِدًا أَذَاهُمْ. Expect their harm, expect their injuries. مُعَظِّمًا وَمَحْتَرِمًا إِيَّاهُمْ. Respect them, magnify them. إِلَّا بِحَسِبِ مَا أُمِرْتَ أَوْ زُجِرْتَ. Except with what you were commanded or prohibited from doing. In other words, taqwa. So if you were told not to, like ta'zim al-fasiq, things like that, then don't do that. الثاني أن تكبر عليهم أربعا وتحسبهم من جملة الموتى. The second one is to say four takbir over humanity and consider them to be dead people. فَلَا تَعْتَمِدْ عَلَيْهِمْ فِي أَحْوَارِكَ. Never depend on them in your state. وَلَا تُلَاحِظْهُمْ فِي أَعْمَالِكَ. Nor give them any consideration in your actions. وَتَرَى مَا يَجْرِي مِنْهُمْ لَيْسَ صَادِرًا فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ عَنْهُمْ. And realize that nothing that comes from them is in reality coming from them. It's from Allah. وَإِنَّهُمْ مُسَخَّرُونَ وَمُسَلَّطُونَ. See them as people subjugated by Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has given them authority. فَتَرْجِعُوا لِمَوْلَاهُمْ شُكْرًا حَيْثُ أَحْسَنُوا. And return to your Lord as a way of gratitude when they're nice to you, and taking refuge in them by necessity when they're cruel to you and harsh with you. So if they're good to you, if they show you ihsan, give shukr to Allah. If they don't show you ihsan, just flee to Allah. The third one, أن ترحمهم فيما هم فيه فتصيرهم بما تقدر عليه من منافع الدين والدنيا التي لا يعود عليك منها ضرر عاجر ولا آجر لأن مصلحة الإنسان مقدمة على غيره في الدين والدنيا ولا يقدم مصلحة غيره إلا الأحمق وإنما الإيثار عند المضايقة في الحاجات لا عند مقابلة الضروريات وهذا الباب يحتاج لعلم واسع من خارج لمن ابتلي بمصاحبة الخرق وفقه غزير من داخل ليقف صاحبه على بساط الحق فاعتصم بداء واحذر خطة الناس غاية جهدك وبالله سبحانه وتعالى التوفيق. And then he says the third is have compassion in what they're in. So connect with them, don't sever them as much as you're able to concerning the benefits of this dunya and the deen. And concerning those things in which no harm will come back to you either sooner or later, because the benefit of a man is preferred over the benefit of someone else. So a man's benefit is first and foremost, a human being. في الدين والدنيا. In the deen and the dunya. وَلَا يُقَدِّمُ مَصْرَحَةَ غَيْرِهِ إِلَّا الْأَحْمَقِ. And nobody will give his maslaha, his benefit, to another except a fool. وَإِنَّمَا الْإِثَارُ عِنْدِ الْمُضَايَقَةِ فِي الْحَاجَاتِ. Rather, the deference to others is in needs, not in necessities. So in needs, الحاجات والتحسينيات, prefer other people. But for life, those type of things like that, the person prefers themselves for their akhirah. And in the dunya, it's weighted in the situations. You know, you have to look at the various situations. And this is a chapter that needs a great deal of knowledge from outside for anyone who's been tribulated with the company of people, and also a serious fiqh or understanding inwardly for those who are present in the ground of al-haq, in this bisat al-haq. So cling to Allah, avoid associating with people to the best of your ability, and may Allah give you tawfiq, tadyib. Another addendum, لَابُدَّ مِنْ عَيْشٍ وَعَقْلٍ وَعِلْمٍ. You have to have livelihood, intellect, and knowledge. فَرْعَيْشُ لِمُعَمَرَةَ النَّفْسِ. Your livelihood is in order for your own soul, how you transact with your soul. وَالْعَقْلِ لِمُعَمَرَةَ النَّاسِ. Your intellect is for working with other people. وَالْعِلْمِ لِمُعَمَرَةَ الْحَقِّ. And knowledge is in order to have a relationship with Allah. وَالْخَلْقِ. وَالْخَلْقِ فِي سِجْنَ الطِّبَعِ. And know that creation is in the prison of nature, of human nature. فَلَا يُمْكِنُ إِرْضَاءُ الْكُلِّ إِلَّا بِتَغْضِيبِ الْكُلِّ. You can't please everyone except by making everyone angry. وَكُلُّ مَنْ قَدَدَ دِينَهُ الرِّجَالِ زَلَّتْ بِهِ قَدَمُهُ فِي مَهَوَاتِ السَّلَفِ. And everyone who imitates men in their deen, their foot will fall into the pitfalls of destruction. لِفَسَادَ الزَّمَانِ. Because this is a bad time. وَفَقْدَ الْعَوَانِ. And a loss of help. كَمَا أَنْشَدَنَا الشَّيْخ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ السَّرَّاجِ. Just as Shaykh Abu Abdullah Sarraj said to us in poetry, may Allah have mercy on him, rahimahullah, فَسَدَ الزَّمَانُ فَأَيْنَ أَيْنَ الْمَهْرَبُ وَفَشَرْ حَرَامُ فَأَيُّ كَسْبٍ يُطَّبُ وَتَعَامَتْ الْعُلَمَاءُ عَنْ شُبَهَاتِهَا فَلِمِثْلِ ذَا فَلْيَعْجَبِ الْمُتَعَجِّبُ مَنْ ذَا نُشَاوِرُ فِي مَرَمَّةِ دِينِنَا أَوْ مَنْ لَنَا فِي ذَا الزَّمَانِ مُؤَدِّبُ. So he said, this time is a corrupt time. Where, oh, where is the escape? Haram has spread everywhere. So what livelihood is sought? The ulama have become blinded by all of the doubtful matters. And the likes of this, even the one who wonders should wonder. And who can I ask for help in rectifying my religion? أَوْ مَنْ لَنَا فِي ذَا دِينِ مُؤَدْ. Or who in this time is a mu'addib, is a shaykh that can rectify our souls. So this is 9th century. قال الفضيل, فضيل بن عياض, one of the salaf, رحمه الله. This is a bad time. هذا الزمان سوء. It's a bad time. I mean, he was living in the 4th century. فاحفظ لسانك وأخفي مكانك وعالج قلبك وخذ ما تعرف ودع ما تنكر. Guard your tongue, hide your place, purify your heart, take what you know and avoid what you reject. What's munkar? Khalas. So this is all relative. Don't think they were related to this man Al-Fudayl, who was one of the great arifin. If he came now, khalas. I mean, we're complaining. Because this is our maqam. So the good people now were the bad people of yesterday. And the bad people of yesterday are the awliya of today. It's all relative. In Fudayl's time, the average person would be a wali today. Wa'alam. Now this is one of the best pieces of advice in this whole thing. I hope everybody... If you just get this one little section here, it's worth the whole book. I guarantee you. Wa'alam. أني خبرت الناس جملة وتفصيلا. He's saying, know this. Know this. I have tested humanity individually and collectively. So I know the group mentality and I know individual mentalities. And I hope this book by now should have proven you that this man really did know human beings. فَلَمْ أَجِدْ إِلَّا رَجُلًا. I only found the following people. رَجُلًا يُرِيدُ أَنْ يُكَمِّلَ بِكَ دُنْيَاهُ. Somebody who wants to complete his dunya through you. Or رَجُلًا يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَسْتَعِينَ بِكَ عَلَى هَوَاهُ. Or somebody who just wants to use you to amuse himself. أَوْ ثَارِثًا يَسْتَعْنِسُ بِكَ فِي مَا هُوَ
به من مناه, or someone who is looking simply for somebody to have some intimate conversation for in what he's interested in. I mean, if it's somebody who's a religious person, he'll come to you and talk to you about religious matters. This is good. But if he's a musician, he wants to talk to you about music, whatever. وَالْكَمَالُ perfection كُلُّهُ فِي عِلْمٍ بِحَقٍ وَعَمَلٍ بِصِدْقٍ وَحَالٍ بِحَقِيقًا. And perfection is this: knowledge with truth, action with sincerity, and a state with reality. وَلَنْ تَصِرَ مِنْ كُلٍ مِنْهَا إِلَّا إِلَى مَا قُسِمَ لَكَ. And you will not achieve any of this except what's already been apportioned for you. فَلَا تَعْجَلْ فِي الطَّلَبِ. So don't hasten in your search. وَلَا تَتَبَاطَأْ فِي السَّبَبِ. But don't hesitate, don't delay in using the means. وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّنَا فِيمَا نَرُومُهُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And Allah is our wali. He's our caretaker, our benefactor, our protector in what we're seeking from all of this. وَهُوَ حَسْبُنَا وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. And He is enough for us and the best of the people of the wakil, those who protect. الثاني التحفظ في امتثال الأمر باستقصاء أعظم المقدور على وفق السنة في الترخيص والتشديد. The second is being vigilant in fulfilling the commands of Allah to the utmost of one's ability in accordance with the sunnah, both dispensations and discomforts. So in those things that are dispensations, but also in those things that are difficult to see. لِأَنَّ كُلًّا مِنْهُمَا. Because both are from them. خَارِجٌ عَنَ الْإِضْمَارِ. Outside of the realm of concealment. They're both from the sunnah, and they're not things that are concealed. وَقَدْ قَالَ عُمَرَ رَضِي اللَّهُ عَنُهُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. In the Muwatta Imam Malik, Sayyidina Umar said, مَنْ حَفِظَهَا وَحَفَظَ عَلَيْهَا فَهُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَحْفَظ وَمَنْ بَيَعَهَا فَهُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَضِيعَ. Whoever is mindful of the prayer and guards his prayer, then he will be mindful of everything else. But whoever is negligent of his prayer, he will be more negligent about everything else. وقال أبو بكر بن العربي لقد رأيت ممن يحافظ عليها آلافا لا يحصيها ولا أعد ممن يحفظها خمسة. I saw thousands upon thousands, innumerable numbers, that were vigilant about doing the prayer, but I can only really count about five who were mindful in the prayer. وَإِنُّهُ لَكَذَلِكَ. And he says, indeed it is like that. الثالث حفظ الحرمة بالتسليم لأحكامه والرضا بما يأتي من نقصه وإبرامه مع ترك ما يؤدي إلى إسقاطها كذكره تعالى كثيرا لا على وجه التعظيم وإدخال الشبه في وصفه العلي العظيم. وهذه إشارة كافية تدل مقصود وافية. ولقد نهينا عن أن نجعله تعالى عرضة لأيماننا وأن لا نسب الذين يدعون من دون الله لعل نقابر بمثل ذلك والله التوفيق. Guarding the hurma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by submitting to all of His rulings, being content with what He has come, what He's told us not to do, what He's told us to do, and also leaving everything that will invalidate any of these rulings, like making mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in a way that there is magnification, but it leads to shubha in his description, some doubtful matters in his description. And this is enough of an allusion to what we're speaking about, because we were prohibited to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the object of our oaths, and also we were prohibited to curse the gods of other people so that we would not be met with the likes of that. In other words, they wouldn't curse Allah. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو أهله. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو أهله. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو أهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.